Hey, BronyCast, this is Aviators.
Laugh Track here with an awkward break in between the shows because we are actually recording the news and the Song of the Week segment separate from the rest of the show. This will probably not be a reoccurring thing, but the conversation went so long and we still had to throw the news in, so I've got Icy Beats here, or Jab, our regular news brony.
Hello, I'm back from my camping trip.
Exactly. Jab. Please tell us what is going on, or at least what was going on this day in ponies.
In ponies, oh my goodness. New York got flooded with bronies last weekend when the BronyCon 2012 happened.
Wait. Hold on.
Yeah, what?
There's a BronyCon.
Yeah, like you got Comic-Con in San Diego. In New York, you have a con specifically for bronies. And they have all kinds of artists, like Living Tombstone, Mike the Microphone, Bring the Lulz, all kinds of people going there. And it's just a place where bronies can get together and pony to the max. I mean, they had a party, a Bronypalooza, if you will, of over 3,000 people.
3,000 people?
Bronies! Raving! Jeez! Ginormous thing. And I wish that I could link everything that happened. But there's so much that happened on this BronyCon. The listeners are just going to have to go out to Equestria Daily because they have a really nice lineup of all the events that happened. Or just go on to YouTube and type in BronyCon 2012, see what you get. I mean, a lot of interesting things happened. Living Tombstone saying Discord on live. One of the lights caught on fire in the ceiling, but no one was hurt, so everything was okay. And a bunch of other stuff.
Well, so sounds like a lot to
if you want,
go on.
Yeah. Okay, well, Equestria Daily, or our very own Onyx Marble, a.k.a. the Doctor,
He got to go to it.
He's from Nebraska. He's on our BronyCast. He got to go up there
in
New York.
I think Pill Pusher was there as well, but
I don't believe
Pill Pusher has had as much coverage as Onyx Marble has.
Because Onyx Marble, his Tumblr, we call him the Doctor, right?
Yes.
So he's got a Tumblr about the Fantastic Doctor Who's, and I linked that up there. He's got a recap, like a page of all the stuff that he did up there, and I think that it's going to cover it really well. It covers what happened up there, all the fun things happened, so much cosplay. I mean, Onyx Marble went as Doctor. We had some Pinkies. We had DJ Pwn 3s. We had everything up there. Oh, my gosh. Oh, they had everything. Yeah. Color me icy jelly because wish I could go out there.
Well, hopefully in the next BronyCon we'll have more members of BronyCast there.
Oh yeah,
and we can just kind of take over.
Slowly but surely, we can take over.
Exactly.
But enough of gushing over BronyCon, which is still amazing. Lauren Faust didn't have a Twitter before, and now our very own resident troll Tara Strong.
Twoll.
Oh, Twoll, Tara Strong, has gotten Lauren Faust to make her own Twitter. And, of course, it's the same as her DeviantArt, Firefly, on Twitter.com, or however you do it. I don't know how to use Twitter very well.
It's at Firefly, at F-Y-R-E underscore F-L-I, or Y-E. Yeah, I'm smart. I know what letters are.
You know your letters and numbers? You know how to count to Z?
Yeah, totally.
That's okay. Now she has a Twitter. And
I can count to Apple.
Don't spam her too much. But that's pretty awesome because she didn't have one before.
So me asking her to marry me, is that too much spam?
I think that's a little bit awkward, but it's not spam. So
well, I also sent it to Tara Strong. So
she might troll you a little bit harder if you did that.
Okay.
She would probably say lead you on, say yes, but...
Well,
all you Twitter users out there, go hit her up, see what's happening.
That's a contract. We're married now.
Yeah, right there.
Anyway,
continue. Oh, laugh track. Anyway, one of my favorite video right now. I watched it. It is not my favorite video. It came out this weekend. Ponies the Anthology 2. Oh my goodness. If you've seen Ponies the Anthology 1, you know how epic it is. Ponies the Anthology 1 was 24 minutes of pure awesomeness. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, anthology means a collection of work from different artists compiled into one media. So an anthology is like a collection, right?
Well, yes.
Ponies the Anthology 1 was 24 minutes long, about 22, 24 minutes long. Ponies the Anthology 2 was a whopping 1 hour and 25 minutes of Pony. They stepped it up by a whole 60 minutes. Ugh, and it is good.
Now,
way better.
I see. You, Blizz, and I actually all got together for the first viewing of it. Uh-huh. At least our first viewings of it.
Yeah, we saw it for the first time together. It was awesome.
I agree.
We had fun. Oh my goodness. And so many references in there that a lot of bronies will get. 90s, 80s, whatever. It is
You just
awesome.
Took that from a radio station around
I
here.
Took it from a radio station. I'm sorry. I probably should. I don't know. I linked it up there anyway, the Ponies Anthology 2. And I encourage you sitting down, getting some popcorn, because it's a long one, but it is worth the watch. And in other news, in the YouTube news segment, Friendship is Witchcraft 7 just came out over the weekend, too. And both of these came out when I was camping, which I couldn't get to them because I didn't really have wireless connection because I was in the middle of Iowa.
Now, so, careful rain cloud.
Careful rain cloud. You'll get that if you watch Friendship is Magic 7. We put a link up there, but Witchcraft. Did I say Witchcraft?
You said Magic.
Did I say Magic?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Friendship is Witchcraft 7. Friendship okay. is Magic 7 would be something a little bit different and not as parody-y,
no.
I'm guessing. Anyway, Friendship is Witchcraft by Sherlock Pones. Go hit it up. It's pretty awesome. It's got a lot of Applejack, if you'd like that.
Yes.
And then moving on, the Hub is officially... See, these officially things are a big deal because they're not fanning their canon. Ha ha ha.
Officially, I see what you did there.
By the way...
I just figure I should say this. Friendship is Magic 7 is Friendship is Witchcraft 3.
Is it really?
Yeah, Dragon Shy.
In a Dragon Shy. Ooh, that's one of my favorite Friendship is Magics.
Yes. Huh.
Who knew?
All right.
I didn't know that I hit like that. That's pretty cool. Anyway, the Hub is releasing motivational posters. If you've seen them, they're the posters with like a picture of a guy like looking triumphant and it says courage. It's what everyone has if they only knew they had it. Stuff like that. There's like parodies of them. There's motivational posters. They're original. You've probably seen them. Chances are.
Yeah.
But Hub
picture of Boba Fett and it says awesome and that's it.
Something like that. And then the Hub is releasing their own motivational posters at Comic-Con. Which is coming up pretty soon. I don't know when it is, but it's in San Diego. It's Comic-Con. Not BronyCon, it's the comic. Because apparently there's going to be some bronies at Comic-Con, which is centered around comics, so. And anime.
Yes.
And cartoons. So that's pretty neat, too.
It's basically nerd heaven.
Pretty much.
Something I really want to go to eventually, and I'll get away there. I'll find away.
Well, anyway, we gotta have like this giant pool of cash that everyone throws money into, and then eventually we spend it all on going to BronyCon or going to Comic-Con or something far away.
Well, I'm admittedly looking into a bus for road trips.
I would help pay for that. That would be pretty darn epic, even if we have to rent it.
Pop on the
these motivational
bus.
Posters. These motivational posters are centered around the main six and some, and they're pretty cool. You should probably check them out. They're going to be selling them at Comic-Con, I believe. I've got a link up there. Because links are cool. And then another con that I'd love to go to is, I don't know if it's a con or not, but it's something. It's Canterlot Gardens.
Yes.
Which is in Ohio. Springsville, Ohio. I believe you can call it a con. It's big. It's great. And Fighting is Magic. The main six team behind Fighting is Magic is going to be there in Ohio. In September 28th, I believe, 28th. We have the link up here, but the main six programmers behind Fighting is Magic. It's 28th, okay.
In Strongsville,
they're going to be there. They're going to be there, and they're releasing the first playable version of Fighting is Magic to the public.
I'm getting more and more into Fighting is Magic the more and more I look at it. I'm also still looking forward to Legends of Equestria.
Legends of Equestria is coming out. Shelltoon.
But Fighting is Magic, I realize I'm like way behind, but I just heard Twilight Sparkle's fight music today because someone released a remix of it with that "Welcome to the Jam if you want to slam" or whatever the song is. Someone released that as a remix, and then really? I listened to the original. And yeah, it was on Tumblr. It was awesome.
Oh, that's nice.
But
that's nice.
Yeah, Tumblr comes.
Yeah, they have Pinkie Pie, Rarity, and Twilight and Applejack's. Music now. I don't know if they have the characters finished. They haven't released Fluttershy or Rainbow Dash because we'll save the best for last.
I guess so.
I'm biased and I don't care. I think Applejack's my favorite fight music though. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, that's going to be happening in Ohio in September. So that's all pretty right. Awesome. And I don't know if you've ever heard this. It was a pretty sweet epidemic on YouTube, but there was a video of the Swedish Spitfire. When Spitfire back, way back when, on the best night ever, season one finale, the Swedish Spitfire is known by many as one of the hottest voices in all of My Little Pony. Oh my goodness. I love that voice. It is like candy to the eardrums. Anneli Heed, I don't know if that's how you say it. Anneli Heed.
Yeah.
Anneli Heed. It's a Swedish name. Maybe not. I'm being biased. Anyway, the voice actor behind Swedish Spitfire is going to be at Galacon, another con. Oh, and I don't know when Galacon is. I'll have to check that real fast. But that's another con, and I was actually kind of impressed that someone from a different language of MLP would end up going to one of these cons. So I think that was that's pretty awesome. And another con that I wish that I could go to and probably won't end up being able to make.
We'll find ways. Don't worry.
We'll find ways. We got Pwn 3 con coming up here in Nebraska. That's what exactly. We're excited about over
Which,
here.
We'll have a little bit more information about that as it gets a little bit closer.
Yeah, we got some stuff for you guys. We got special stuff.
Yes, I think so. So I guess that covers all the news. So how about we move on to Song of the Week?
Yeah, Song of the Week. And the Song of the Week actually comes from Friendship is Witchcraft number 7 because they have some pretty catchy songs. I mean, Pinky's Brew, come on.
Yes.
Pinky's Brew is one of my favorite songs ever. That was from one of the earlier Friendship is Witchcraft. But Pinky does it again, has another song in Friendship is Witchcraft 7.
Yes.
Getting slurred around all over.
Yeah. Friendship is Witchcraft episode 7 has the song Gypsy Bard, done by Griffin Lewis, who does most of the music, as well as Linnick and Kyria. And Linnick and Kyria are the guys who did Pinky's Brew, the Russian Gypsy Jazz version.
Ah! Linnick, that rang a bell!
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's the one who did the Russian. Yeah, you're right. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so let's let you guys listen to a little bit of that, and then we'll...
Can I do something real fast?
Oh,
can
yeah,
I say something fast? The Galacon is actually a European convention.
Oh, yeah.
That the Swedish Spitfire is going to be at. That's a little less of a travel for the Swedish Spitfire.
It's in Europe or Germany, I think.
It's in Germany.
Yeah, that's right. I remember I saw... a thing for it that Mr. Poneo did the animation for.
Yeah, he
and,
did.
And Serena Midori actually did the voice of the pony in it. And
oh, really?
Yeah, she's a brony from Houston, Texas. She's on Wachow, which I like watch all the time. So
that's awesome. And that's in August, I believe. That's like really soon. August 11th and 12th, it looks like, in Germany. Location, Stuttgart.
I don't know how to say that.
Stuttgart. I just...
You're
say
making
German.
Up words.
I just have to sound really angry and it'll be German.
Oh, that's...
I'm kidding.
We just lost, like, a bunch of German viewers. Oh. We're sorry, Misha, friend of the show who's been on before.
I'm kidding about that. Germans are friendly.
Yeah. All right. So let's play the Song of the Week real fast, and Jab, step into my office. We need to have a talk.
Sorry.
It's okay.
We'll be back with more BronyCast after this song.
When you arrive at devastation, there's a simple explanation. You're a toy maker's creation.
Comedy Cast. My name is Laugh Track. I am your host for this day, evening, whenever you're listening. And today we are joined by Pixel Heart.
Hi.
We've got Imago here with us.
The fans love.
Also joined by Crystal Rose.
Yeah, I put him on a love diet.
And Bravo's here.
Hi.
Joining us once more is Blizzard.
Hello.
Coming back after a little while gone, and we missed him very much, Orange Beats.
That's me.
So modest. Shelltoon's here with us.
About that time, eh, chaps? Righto.
I guess he's British? Brass Valve is here.
Insert one-liner in an attempt to get everyone to laugh.
La 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 la. We've got the host and creator of Equestrian Jeopardy, Alex Tokens Trot Beck.
Good evening, everybody. Let's get to the end of the show.
All right. Time for our discussion, and we've got a couple dockets here, or a couple things on the docket here today. Couple topics, couple things. Obviously, with all the stuff coming on at BronyCon, I believe they were trading cards that were released that had some official names of background ponies.
Yes, way in advance before they go out on shelves.
Exactly, and I kind of want to discuss the pony names, like the official, the toy names, versus the fan names, in which one everyone kind of prefers.
Hit the deck now.
So, first off, Jack, Blizzard, if you can actually go ahead and post that link again, because I totally lost it, we'll go ahead and we'll jump off to this discussion. I cannot talk today. And let's start off with the basic, or I guess the first one. This is the big one we're going to get out of the way first, because I'm very passionate about it. Carrot Top versus Golden Harvest.
So Carrot Top's the official name? That
no, Carrot Top is the fan name, but they did go ahead and they said it was Golden Harvest's nickname because she always has carrots on her mind.
Oh, well, that was nice that they, you know, still kind of weird to the fans.
Yes.
Now, that indeed. Being said, and I'm not doing this just to get under your skin, I swear, I actually do prefer Carrot Top.
Get out.
Get off this podcast.
I mean, Carrot Top's okay, but it's like I can't help but think of Carrot Top as that terrible comedian.
That's true.
Like Golden Harvest. Harvest is such a nice name, and it's rich, and it just I don't know why. Plus, she's my favorite background pony. I'm a little passionate about things when it comes to Carrot Top. Something about her just... Or Golden Harvest. See? And it's even reached the point where I call her Carrot Top because everyone else does. Because when I say Golden Harvest, no one knows
what
I'm talking
about. Nobody knows
exactly. So it's like a favorite background pony. Oh, Golden Harvest.
It's sort of
Carrot Top. Yeah.
I think something that should be remembered here is that, you know, I think we're obviously... A lot of people are biased because, you know, we are part of the fandom. The fandom created the name Carrot Top. But also, you got to keep in mind that, you know, Hasbro is a company, and while they do want to appease us as much as they can, you know, they have to keep in mind, you know, what can really be marketed at all. And quite frankly, when you look at it from an objective point of view, a lot of the fan names actually aren't that good. I mean, you know, Lyra, I mean, her cutie mark's a liar. Let's call her Lyra. It's her cutie mark's a carrot. Let's call her Carrot Top. So it's like...
Well, Lyra's name is officially Lyra Heartstrings
now.
Well,
it is now, but it wasn't for a while.
Yeah, it was probably just Heartstrings, I'm sure.
I remember the fallout from when it was just Heartstrings. Everyone was like, oh my god, that's such a terrible name!
I actually think
Heartstrings is better.
And, you know, we've had this before. I mean, it's similar to Ditsy Doo and Derby, to an extent, but it's not, obviously it's not with such a major character. You know, but
the thing that everybody just has to remember is it's not like it's going to destroy, you know, the sentimentality of the fan name. It's not like it's going to erase it from existence. It's
sort of the same thing with the Vinyl Scratch versus DJ Pwn 3.
Well, they said DJ Pwn 3 in the commercial, so I think that's where it's canon. But if anything, like in my mind,
I would actually like to add that there was a card that apparently has her name as Vinyl Scratch, and on that same card is Octavia.
Oh, all right. See,
yes, Octavia got official.
Yeah.
Well, not just Octavia, but we've also kind of established a canon connection between the two characters, because think about it. In the show, the two characters have never come together now. With the two characters being on the same card now, Hasbro is probably recognizing, you know, all the fan connections between the two characters, which is quite significant.
Now,
actually, can I come back?
Oh, yeah, sure. obviously, you have some kind of input, so let's hear it, little changeling.
I was just agreeing, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm like an insult.
So there's Carrot Top versus Golden Harvest. Obviously, I lean towards Golden Harvest. It's better.
Can I just add something about that?
Sure.
There's a Chinese martial arts film studio, I believe, named Golden Harvest.
So Golden Harvest now knows Kung Fu. It's accepted in my headcanon.
But actually, going back to the only reason I actually would rather Carrot Top isn't so much the cutie mark, is more just the color. And this is an immature reason for the reason I don't like Golden Harvest, but Carrot Top, just faster to say, and I'm lazy.
Well, Golden Harvest.
You're sold on the whole thing.
True. Color GH.
Golden Harvest kind of rules. It kind of rolls off the tongue better for me.
Coming winter 2012. Plus, Golden Harvest in Hooves of Fury.
Plus,
I'm
seriously, I'm waiting for someone to do it. I don't know if anyone has done it yet, but there needs to be some kind of parody picture of Golden Harvest on a Harvest Moon cover.
Nice. Oh,
there you go.
Clever.
He would thrive in that game series.
Golden Carrot
Top.
Yeah. So
putting that on my list of to do for drawings. Golden Harvest Moon for Laugh Track.
Oh.
Hooray.
You're so awesome, Pixel.
How long is your list of requests?
Oh, this will be good.
I'm sure.
Actually, I think, let's see, most of them are Laugh Track stuff.
I'm not taking advantage of her. How dare you?
I'm not taking advantage of anyone. I pay her.
A valued customer of hers. Laugh Track's a valued customer of hers.
I'm the repeat customer that, like, everyone knows, and I always look at, like, I say, hi, doggy, and I buy roses, and they know what I'm buying before I'm even in there. I'm Tommy Wiseau in the room.
It's like walking into a pizza shop and they already know what you want to have on your pizza.
It used to be like that for Wendy's. Wendy's knew when I got off work, and they knew what my car was. So it's just like, oh, it's the guy who wants the spicy chicken plain with the large fry and Coke. Let's have it
Chinese.
Ready.
The nice
ladies at the Runza that used to be at Westroads, it's gone now, remembered what I ordered there.
You know how they take your name at Burger King now?
Yeah.
They learned my name, and I live right across the street. And I went in there with my sister and our boyfriend, and they're like, oh, hi, Christina. I'm like, they look at me, and I'm like, don't judge me.
All right, so.
Let's get back on top.
Carrot Top versus Golden Harvest. That one, I think, has been discussed. I mean, Orange, do you have anything to add?
I was always a favorite of Top, just because it's always a identity with, but. I don't really have a strong preference on what you call a pony, because either way, it's still a pony.
All right, so Carrot Top for you. Blizz, Brass?
I have actually not even thought about it, because I never really, like, looked into Carrot Top as much. What I mean by that is, like, I never, like, thought about her name. To me, Golden Harvest just kind of rolls off the tongue better, but Carrot Top, it's funny.
All right. And Blizz,
see,
Bravo?
Here's my headcanon. Her real name is Golden Harvest, but the doctor always calls her Carrot Top.
Oh, there we go.
That sounds like something the doctor would do.
Indeed.
You, Carrot Top, come over here. My name is Golden Harvest. Yes, right, Carrot Top. Come, all right, I need you over here.
Tell him when he learned Ditsy's dude's name, Derpy. It's like, it's just whimsical.
He called Twilight Georgia.
Where was that from? I've never heard that.
It's from the first big fanfic called Number 12.
Huh. Interesting.
I'll look into that.
Yeah, we'll find it. We'll link it for cool stuff. All right. So, how about since we're talking about the Doctor, Dr. Hooves has an official name now, and it is Time Turner.
Hmm. That sounds like something the Doctor would name himself.
No,
like,
Time Turner.
In one of the Dr. Hooves and Assistant episodes, Paul Dumbarat actually posted this. He did go by the alias Time Turner before came out, and she was like so excited that they did that.
I remember that actually. I remember when they were taking votes for the names, and Time Turner was one of them. So.
And I always thought Time Turner would be a great alternative to Dr. Hooves.
And when the card came out, there was a part of the description said, "All things timey-wimey."
Which is perfect.
So it's like they're saying, "Hey, we know you guys call him Dr. Hooves, but we have to call him Time Turner. Just, you know, we'll just say he has copyright issues."
They put timey-wimey in italics, so it's like a text-based version of a wink.
Yeah. Well, wink, 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 nudge, nudge.
Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
The rumor is they actually call him Dr. Hooves, too.
Nice.
And then this next one that I guess we kind of have, the mayor of many names. So we've got Munette, Minty Fresh, Ramona, Tardy, Jean, or Colgate.
Oh.
If only Giraffe could have been here today.
I know. Giraffe would have just been all over this.
I've heard of only two of those. I've heard of Romana and I've heard of Colgate. I've heard of like Colgate Romana Menta or something like that. I think that's a Tumblr blog.
I feel like
it actually took me a while to figure out why they would call her Tardy.
Yeah, yeah. But it's spelled all caps and she's got the little hourglass.
Yeah, I think she's blue and has an hourglass cutie mark.
They think that she's the TARDIS in pony form. Aww. Which would actually be really cute.
If
the TARDIS can turn into a human and like they did in that one episode, I don't
see. Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
And it would explain where the TARDIS went while Dr. Hooves is there.
It's like, where'd your house go, mister?
She's my house.
I live in her.
Yeah, try explain that to your friends, Doctor.
Awkward moment.
I'm pretty sure there's a fanfic for that now.
If not, I shall write it.
There is.
Get to work.
This fandom sometimes just like the iPhone. There's an app for that. There's a fanfic for that.
Exactly. So anyway,
I'd just like to point something out about the Romana name is that, you know, even though it relates to Doctor Who, there might be a few fans out there who may not know about it because that's going back to Tom Baker's run as the Doctor.
Yeah.
That's true.
And with Colgate.
That's where that comes from?
Yeah.
Never knew that.
There's a lot, so.
I always thought that Romana just sounds like such a random name, and it sounds like a human name, too, but now I
understand.
That's what some people will think at first, but if you're like me and you're into Classic Who, you find out, I get it. Kind of like how there's one pony with an hourglass, her name is the Ronnie.
That went over my head, but I'm going to assume it's a reference.
It is. It's nice.
It is.
But
she's another Time Lord, but she's an evil Time Lord like the Master.
No more like,
No.
You're the girl, so I'll take your word for it. Or your laugh.
Hey, I'm a girl, too.
Is this going to be the evil laugh minute? Because I can get into this.
No, that wasn't near my best evil laugh.
All right.
I was just joking.
I was trying to be a girl.
All right, well, let's all do an evil laugh, and then Jab can decide whether he edits this out or not.
We'll just go down the line.
One by one.
Okay. Pixel. Evil laugh. Go. That sounds like a lot of fun. Imago. Evil laugh. Crystal.
I like this moment.
Bravo. That sends chills down my spine. Blizzard! I like his orange evil laugh.
Ooh, mysterious.
He's a dialect. Sheltoon? Brass?
Classic.
Tokens?
It's done! It's finally done!
Crazy.
And I guess...
Oh, you're so cute!
I guess I'll try mine. So,
golf crowd clap.
Jeez, golf crowd murder crowd. Murder
you gonna murder me, laugh track?
Laugh track is the Joker.
Last moment that just passed, all of us are now murder suspects.
Don't you dare try and pin this one down on me.
That's what you get for calling your carrot top.
Everybody, get out. Pink Amina's gonna make sure that nothing gets out.
Maybe
Amina's on our side, everybody. Every pony. We don't need to worry about a thing.
Maybe we should move on to the next subject.
You just have to wait until your number is drawn.
Okay, the horror moment is up. Moving on.
Yes.
We haven't seen an episode yet.
What's up?
That will be fun when that date comes.
Oh.
Yes.
Next subject. I guess. What do you think of people's OCs? Are you annoyed with them or do you love them? Like, I guess. Where do you find they fit into the fandom?
Yeah, they're creative.
Yeah. Well, let's start off with our. Main artist of BronyCast, Pixel, what do you feel about OCs?
Okay, I really love drawing people's OCs, and I really like some of the creativity I get, but I don't like alicorns, and I wish more people would have more earth ponies. I either get a unicorn or Pegasus for requests, and it's just like, oh, no love for the earth ponies, nothing different.
Nobody loves the dirt ponies.
You would love, you would love earth our friend Hans. He loves earth ponies. He actually thinks they are
Isn't Kinsey an earth pony, or does she have an OC?
Kinsey's an earth pony.
Yeah.
All right.
To be fair, I think the only reason I'm a Pegasus is because I actually requested it quite early into my bronydom, but it's also because I'm such a Rainbow Dash fan, and it's like, Cloudsdale sounds like an awesome place to live.
As for me, I started as a Pegasus just because whenever there's the ability to fly, I always just need to fly.
I made my
OC a Pegasus slightly for an ironic reason, because normally it seems like when an OC involves technology or gaming or something like that, it's always a unicorn, you know?
Yeah.
Magic equals electricity. Because I'm not very athletic, so I tried to make, you know, a Pegasus normally equals athletic, so I decided to do that, and then have him be an arcade guy, just sort of for the irony of it. You know, he's different. He's like Fluttershy. Fluttershy doesn't fly a lot, and while I'm, my character still can fly, you know, he's okay on the ground, he's doing, you know, he's different from the rest.
Exactly, and Laugh Track only uses his wings for, like, shtick. Like, if he needs to front flip or something and, like, land on his face in comedic form, he uses his wings.
Back when I actually had was a Pegasus, you know, totally not hiding or nothing, you know, Chromequill, he actually did, one of his his favorite writing utensil was a, like, chrome quill of his own, so.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I was going to say, let's jump over for Imago, I guess. What's your opinion?
I kind of just gave it.
Oh, all right. It's Crystal, then.
To expand, when I've been looking through the Minecraft mod, My Little Pony, and seeing like all the requests that people make, and just seeing some ridiculous-looking, like, how a lot of the fans like the black and red, edgy, angry, all that, and it's... There's a dark side to it where it's just horrible, but that's definitely a minority.
Well, yeah.
I think also maybe possibly a reason is because, you know, not too many people will draw their OCs, like, as in, like, draw them like me and Pixel did. You know, most people use the pony creator thingamajig, and I think probably seeing so many of those creations.
a majority of my references for people's OCs comes from the Pony Maker, which is a helpful tool if you need to draw somebody's OC.
But I think when people like use the images from the creator and say, this is my OC, seeing that same pattern over and over again, I think it's monotonous, annoying to some people.
Why are all the OCs hanging out in dungeons? That's my big question.
Because they're all sad.
You were saying?
Not so much, though, considering that me, CR, Jack, all of our OCs came from Pony Creator. And I suppose I should actually link.
But you've had yours redrawn by Pixel in like an original form.
Even before that. Yeah, like I said, I'll get an example.
I guess that's one thing.
For me, I use it for, you know, what's this color going to be? Where should this kind of hair be?
Reference.
But we use it for reference so that when we draw later, we're not
lost.
Like I said, I'll go ahead and get, I'll put a couple of examples.
Yeah.
So you guys can see.
Oh my god, here's a $1 million idea. Someone should make a wooden mannequin for ponies. Like they have those wooden mannequins for people, like you buy at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Ponies. That would be so helpful for artists.
That would be awesome. Bravo, how about you? What's your opinion on OCs?
There are some of them that I actually really like. I actually follow a few Ask Blogs on Tumblr that are actually really fun. But there are a few that just confuse me. Like, there's an OC called Coke Pony that I still cannot wrap my head around.
That
it is literally a glass pony full of Coke.
That's
just
awesome.
Funny.
And I'm just no matter how many times I try to wrap my head around that, the anatomy just does not make sense to me. But I mean, there. Other than that, I mean, OCs are.
It
OCs
varies
are fun.
On the creator, I think.
There's enough room in the My Little Pony universe. There's enough room for OCs.
You know
that Coke Pony one, by the way, is named.
I'm sure
Fireworks.
That. I'm sure that Lauren Faust must love. And regardless of what they look like, I'm sure Lauren Faust would probably say that she's just glad that she sparked creativity in other people, regardless if they're a master artist or not. She's just glad she's inspired creativity.
Yeah. Bravo,
yeah,
real
I,
fast.
Not only that, but I mean, even growing up, I could never remember the names of any of the ponies, so I know a lot of people who made up their own names and their own characters for the actual toys. So, I mean, it kind of goes back to that. So I really can't hate OCs just for that reason, because I did the same thing when I was a kid. So.
Okay. Real fast, Bravo. Like you said, there's the Coke pony, who's the glass one filled with Coke. Do you think there's, like, a living pinata walking around Ponyville somewhere?
There you go.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Who, like, has to avoid any party?
Oh, my God. Viva Pinata. My Little Pony crossover.
Someone do
it.
Whoever's listening, make it happen.
Put it on the leash.
And I'm Dan Green.
I have actually seen a pony on somebody's page. It was literally a pizza pony whose mane was made of pizza.
Oh, I've seen that one.
It's like from Spaceballs. Pizza the Hut!
Oh my gosh, that's exactly what I thought.
Mike Birbiglia would love that pony.
I would love that. That was
Blizzard, how about you, man?
In my opinion, like honestly, OCs are perfectly fine. As long as they're not overpowered. Like, a lot of times I see the OCs where they have things that make them so strong that they could defeat Celestia or Luna, and I'm like, what? No.
Well, and that's the curse with OCs, is you're going to get stupid people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
There's actually a
every
song
fandom
called
is like that.
My OC.
The irony is that
yes.
Lower seems to do better.
There's a song called My OC, and it just talks about this person's ridiculous OC and how they're like a cousin of Celestia, and they can do all this and that.
They're
it's
friends
really
with
funny.
All the main six and Derpy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I should put a link.
I already put it in the chat.
Here's,
awesome.
What about shipping OCs with canon characters?
Well, that's actually a good point of discussion, because I've done it, but I believe if it's done well, if it's well explained, not just random stallion rolls into town, suddenly everyone's in love with it.
Yeah.
Let's finish up the regular OC talks, and then let's finish up the regular OC conversation, and then we'll talk into the shipping them with canon characters. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So who's up next here? Oh, Sierra?
I was gonna add something real quick, though.
Oh, go for it, Blitz.
In the fanfic community, we have a name for people who are generally overpowered, and that's Mary Sue.
Yeah, Mary Sue and Gary Stu.
Yep.
Exactly.
There's a whole...
My Little Pony, there were exactly. Mary Sues.
That's way back in Star
I think
Trek.
That... Yeah, I was yeah. about to say, that term's been around since, like, the 70s.
Yeah, it's just yeah. a term for a character who comes in and everybody loves them and they're so awesome.
Basically, it's one that even by suspension of disbelief, you just cannot accept them.
Well, admittedly, my first role-playing character was very Mary Sue-ish, because, like, I love playing paladin, so I'm a paladin who does healing magic, but, like, has a direct link to his god, and he turns out that the god's actually living inside him. He's a Mary yeah. Sue, Mary Sue, Mary Sue!
But to be fair, everyone's first character is gonna be a Mary Sue.
Oh, yeah.
So. But same here, back in the day when I did Sonic role-playing stuff on, like, DeviantArt and stuff.
Yes!
Yes, I did do that. That stuff's actually the reason I stopped being on YouTube for a while, because I got trolled to death because of it. But, you know, bygones are bygones. But, you know, you live and learn.
Yeah.
I actually want to continue this topic on Mary Sue's net deeper after the show, because that has nothing to do with ponies.
Sounds good. But real fast, as far as my Mary Sue, I still use my Mary Sue, but I've definitely toned him down, like, a lot. He doesn't have his god living inside him, but his big goal is he wants to become a god, but he feels forsaken by his own gods. He only does healing magic now, is his only thing. And he's a massive alcoholic who speaks in rhyme when drunk. So.
Drunken Zakora.
He's a drunken muse.
Yeah, pretty much. Orange, how about your opinion on OCs?
He's a bard.
Orange.
You want my opinion?
Yes, what's your opinion on OCs?
Alright. Well, every fandom will have stuff like OCs in them. It's a given fact of any, like, fan thing. But, like, specifically for, like, bronies, I think OCs are pretty well treated in the community because they, like, while a lot of people do make bad ones, there's this, like, tremendous support going on, and people are constantly helping people make better OCs and stuff. And you can use OCs for so many different things, and that's the wonderful thing about them. Because in this community, like, the creativity is just out of the roof. And, like, there's so many role-playing communities and music community. There's just not sexual role-play laugh track.
I wasn't talking about that, no. I was talking about them saying that you need to make annoying orange references.
Now,
sorry.
Like you said, Obi, just because a character is a Mary Sue, and this is kind of getting into that, but still ponies, doesn't mean they can't be salvaged, you know?
Exactly.
And Inari only knows that, Chrysalis only knows that we need, that, you know, it's creativity, it really is, and that's what the bronies, you know, have flourished on.
Exactly. Real fast.
But also should be mentioned, you know, we shouldn't also, you know, immediately dismiss alicorns as, you know, just immediately being, you know, a Mary Sue. I mean, it's like, you know, there's all sorts of things you could do. Like, maybe it's a prince, maybe an alicorn could be a princess of a lesser section of Equestria, or maybe it could be maybe a former princess, or maybe it could be another enemy or something
like
that.
True. And it has been said, and, you know, they have multiple times said the Equestria isn't the whole world, it's just that country.
That one nation.
Yeah, so who
nation.
I can't believe you just did that.
There is actually a picture that I love to use for reference called The World As Far As We Know, or something like that. And it has like, continents. Like, there's Equestria, like, somewhere in the middle, but there's, like, continents. Like, there's Zebrica, there's this whole other place called The Echo. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome.
That's true. I mean, we know there is a good point. We definitely know there is another continent because of Zakora.
True, true. Shelltune, your opinion?
My thoughts on OCs are, if you can do it right, do it. But if you're just going to create another overpowered Mary Sue Alicorn, who is a direct descendant of Princess Celestia, can end the world but doesn't want to, and runs away from her job, please go back and rethink your ideas.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, as much as, like, my buddy Ian, I love my buddy Ian, but his original OC is an Alicorn. He needs it to be changed. Like, I don't think he's had a chance, but he made it on the pony generator and everything. And he's like orange and black and green. He's like three different colors, and it's like, it's weird looking.
That brings up another problem that
he's
I have.
He's the colors.
Well, it's like the examples I posted in the chat.
Exactly.
I'll put on the dock here.
But it's like, there are books out there you could look at to come up, to find some good color schemes. You know, just maybe walk into a Barnes & Noble, look through one of those color books, and find some inspiration there. Or, you know, buy the book.
Exactly.
I always tell people, try not to go too extreme with colors. Like, I just tell people, never use just black. I mean, dark gray, but never black. It just looks...
The only reason I didn't use full-on black was because the outline in the pony maker just looked
wrong.
Yeah,
exactly.
Even then, it depends. Like, plain black with just plain black, nothing really special, no spiky bits. That's not that bad. It's simple, but hey.
But it just seems lacking.
And if your OC has like a really sort of solid color scheme, try and do something to sort of like maybe mild the colors a little bit. Like, for example, like I designed tokens with, you know, sort of, Big Macintosh's hooves so that, you know, cause just having him all red just looked unattractive. You know, the yellow of the hooves kind of made it look a little milder. And then of course I put the green apron on and I thought it looked balanced.
Yeah.
Let me show you all the old me. Line disguise, for lack of a better term.
All right. Go ahead and send it our way, and then we'll jump from Shelltune over to Brass.
Well, I wasn't quite done yet.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
The
other issues I have with OCs are name-related, because they don't seem to really fit in with the Ponyverse. Like, somebody will name themselves Wolf. It's like, okay, why is his name Wolf? What's his talent?
His talent is being named Wolf.
I know, it's like...
But the thing is that Wolf can also...
thinking about talent and name being together.
But the thing about Wolf is that, in this case, he might also be what's called a vamp pony. That seems to... That's kind of running around a bit in the Tumblr-verse.
Oh man, Twilight ponies.
There's a reason I kind of stay off Tumblr for the most part.
Why do vampires in Twilight sparkle?
I have vampires in me?
I'm just saying, like, I don't go on Tumblr, mostly because no one asks me questions. Laughtrack.com/Tumblr, laugh-track.com, or wait, laugh-track.tumblr.com, whatever. Put
Click
it
in
there.
The description below.
Yes, yeah, find it there. And then,
My name is Ebony Darkness Dementia Raven Way.
Oh,
and
God!
Get out.
Are you married to Celestia?
Yes!
The ones who got it.
I will admit, I have seen one OC that has been paired with Celestia, and it actually looked pretty good.
Well, to be fair, Laugh Track is Celestia's ex-boyfriend. He broke her heart.
What?
No.
So,
not
so
really.
The reason why she's such a tyrant.
Yes. Yes.
Don't you mean Molestia?
I always say if the name fits, you know, the talent appropriately, and it sounds like it could either be a real name or a decent nickname, then you've got a good name.
Well, on the other hand, though, tokens, like, then you got to look at characters like Pinkie Pie, who their name has nothing to do with their talent.
Yeah, there are characters that don't have anything related to their cutie mark.
But let's be fair. Yeah, like, Pinkie's entire family are named after Pac-Man ghosts.
Well, yeah, so. Blinky, Dinky.
Blinky, Inky, Clyde, and Sue.
Yeah, Clyde and Sue, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Clyde and Sue is interchangeable depending on what game you're playing.
Yes. Yeah.
I would know.
Yeah.
He would know.
I'm the guy that has a coin door in his bedroom. No, really, I do.
He does. Brass?
Honestly, the only official OC that I have seen that is an Alicorn was Lauren's. Honestly, I don't have an opinion on it.
Oh, you will.
All right.
If you ever see him, you will.
Like, if I see one, I'll probably have an opinion. But right now, the only official OC that's an Alicorn I've seen is Lauren's, so...
Fair enough.
But mine's a unicorn because, well, he grew up in Canterlot, and pretty much most of the Canterlot's population is unicorns, so...
Yeah.
Was he one of the band members, maybe, that plays at the gala or something?
No.
That's a good point. Another issue on OCs and, like, with that is a lot of people do seem, and I did this, I'm guilty of this myself, do seem to neglect. Unicorns seem to mainly be from Canterlot, Pegasi from Cloudsdale.
And Earth Ponies from Ponyville and other small towns
I've
like that.
I've forgotten that myself.
And Appaloosa!
Oh my god, that was excellent.
That was great.
That was great.
Job well
done.
You were just
anyway.
And I've forgotten that myself, where like Chromequill never had a background, which, now that I've become a changeling, makes a startling amount of sense.
I'm just a pony like everyone else. I fit in.
Right?
That's what everyone else is doing? That's actually something...
I was born and raised in Canterlot, then I moved to Ponyville because it was less complicated. And yes, that's pretty much how I described my OC.
Mike never lived in Ponyville. He just traveled to Ponyville for a symphony.
Exactly. It's like Laugh Track never lives in Ponyville. And the one thing I tried writing with him, Laugh Track is going on a comedy tour, and Ponyville's just one of the stops, and you find out Laugh Track's sense of humor is a mean-spirited sense of humor. Laugh Track does honestly believe he should be the element of laughter, but he stoops to, like, low levels. He makes fun of people to get laughter.
Trixie.
Hush.
The biggest horse who ever lived!
I'm still tweaking his story. Like, I want him to be genuinely funny, but, like, he'll go to the low level.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm still working on
like
it.
Tosh
so if people
point, like Tosh.0 low?
Exactly.
Tosh.0 low.
The idea of Laugh Track, and this may or may not have personal experiences, he used to be a really funny guy, and then he kind of sold out and started a radio talk show.
I eat brony.
Yes, although it's called Laughing with Laugh Track. Not saying that I feel like I've sold out at all. No, I love doing bronycasts more often than not. So,
but you're not getting paid for this, so how can you sell out?
Exactly. I'm my own boss, though. Look at that.
Christina has something to say.
Oh, yeah, Christina, what's up?
Speak words.
As far as, like, I know this is way, way back in the conversation, but as far as colors go, if people ever have problems developing their colors, the thing I always use when I'm helping people develop their OCs is just go to Cooler for Adobe. It's like adobe.cooler.com. And you can do, like, complementary, tertiary, all kinds of different color palettes. It'll help you figure out, like, what looks good with what. That way you don't make the problem of, you know, choosing the wrong colors.
I always wonder if there was some kind of, like, color calculator online. Like, pick what colors you want and put it in the calculator and it'll tell you how to make what colors will make them complement each other.
Yeah.
Like, what shades.
I just picked my two favorite colors and then... Like, I just threw my favorite colors at Pixel with a very vague description. I'm like, make it happen!
I put the link in the description here. And you can even do things like search certain words. Like, if your character you want is, like, berry-themed, you type in berry, and it'll come up with several different palettes somebody else has made, and you can use those.
Very nice. Very
I just put it in the Google Doc as color thingy.
Color thingy.
Color thingy.
So
that's clever.
So Blizz and then CR's had something to say for a while. So go ahead. Or was that someone else talking? I wasn't looking at the Skype, y'all. I'm sorry. CR, say words.
Words? All right. For OCs. I'm kind of with Imago. As long as it explained well, it's not like, I am an Alicorn so that I can rule over something. I have no problem with it. In fact, one of my OCs, whose general appearance is still humanoid, she actually has horns and wings. She always had. So it only makes sense for her to be turned into an alicorn on general default.
Even though she utterly... it's actually a bit me and her did that whenever she goes to Ponyville or anywhere, everyone's bowing to her and it just continuously ticks her off to no end.
It's like, I'm not a princess. Please stand up. If you know my character Rosalia, it actually makes sense. She's actually in my novel I'm trying to write. But
by now!
Anyway, the other OC that I have, other than Crystal Rose and Desert Rose, both unicorns, one that works with gems. She likes to shape gems and whatnot, and Desert Rose likes to make mirages. That is her special talent.
That's cool.
My fourth OC, which I'm actually made a Tumblr for, is Pandomia. Now,
I like
that. Pandomia, how do you spell that?
You spell it with random numbers and letters because
0110101010.
PANDOMIA.
Oh, Pandomia, not Pandomia.
Yeah. Pandomia.
All right.
She's basically the disciple of Discord. She's the one random human that he took a liking to. It's like, hey, you want chaotic powers?
Another inside joke between us.
There's actually more to it, but I don't want to go into much depth. She's the one pony that actually has ram horns, and she loves them.
And it's a reason, though. That's another thing. Because with the Pony Maker, they threw, like, random horns, and you can throw, like, stick onto your ponies. And a lot of people just put them on there because it looks
like
cool.
Like the Homestuck horns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most people don't actually give a good reason for that. At least, while it's, I mean, to the first view, it doesn't make sense and it sounds a little like Mary Sue-ish. At least it's a reason. She made ram horns because she wanted ram horns and she could do it and she kept it because it is Discord. It's insanity.
Actually, another good question about OCs I think should be brought up is one sort of debate I hear among people is one of the sort of the rules, quote unquote, of what makes a Mary Sue is if the character is based off the creator.
That's one thing I was going to discuss after the show.
So, it kind of depends. Like, some people think there's a difference between OC and Pony-sana.
Yeah, there is.
But also keep in mind, as long as the character isn't like a dead recreation of yourself. If it's a dead recreation of yourself, it's a Pony-sana. If it is based around you, but you've obviously made reasonable adaptations to not only ponify it, but make it more original, then I would consider it a legitimate character.
Well, I would like to think I'm not as rude as Laugh Track is.
Oh no, of course not. You're a wonderful human being.
Aw, thank you. Here's $5.
And my hair's not pink and curly like Pixel Hearts is.
There we go.
My hair's
it's going actually
to be
purple now.
I don't have wings in real life.
Yeah. Neither do I.
I don't have a horn in real life either.
To be fair, I am not a little horse. OCs.
OCs, I feel kind of the same as a lot of people, other people did. As long as, well, first of all, you put reasonable color schemes. It's not overpowered, as long as the OC isn't overpowered, or if it does have a lot of power, it's well explained. Depending on the circumstance of the character, if it's like an enemy or if it's of another, part of the pony world. And you don't base it too much off yourself that it's a dead recreation of yourself, which, goes into a line you don't want to cross with, making yourself into this character that you can't really be.
Now, something that actually I just thought of, normally, like, characters that are blatantly another character from a different fandom just changed with a different name, normally they're looked down on in the writing community too, but with the addition of Dr. Hooves, now that brings up a question. In ponies, is that bad?
Is Dr. Hooves a Gary Stu?
Well, no, because I know whenever I used to read through either role plays or other stories, and then suddenly Vegeta was there. that was considered like a horrible thing. But with Doctor Who, he's a great character.
Clearly, you have never read Naruto Ball XD.
That is.
Let's not.
But this is not After Dark. We're not reading terrible fiction.
So. Okay.
Actually, when you kind of think about it, it's like, why should so many people judge OCs in the first place? I mean, look at our fan characters. Aren't our fan characters just technically OCs that are made by a few more, you know, obviously more people?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm. Yeah.
See, Crystal Roses, she's not based off me, but she happens to be.
But, and so... Like I said, the question, though, is it bad now because of Doctor Who's? Is it good to just, like, throw a random character, make it a pony, and boom, it's a good character now?
It has to be well explained how he got there, he or she.
And it was a genuine meme, you know? We just happened to find this character who looked like it, and we started like, hey, this looks like Doctor Who's. So how'd he get into Equestria? And then, of course, all the stuff on, you know, the different forum boards kept talking and talking and talking and talking until, look at we have now. We have this character which has, you know,
two shows.
There was actually, for those who don't know, I roleplay on this site called The Keep. It's like an extension of Nexus Host. And there's a room in there, I don't know if it's still up, but it's called the Kingdom of Silvermoon. And basically their gimmick is you can take anyone from any continuity and bring him in there. So it's like Son Goku and Ed from Fullmetal Alchemist all the time. Wolverine is there. Jean Grey. And like, it's such a cluster of a room that it's fairly ridiculous and like everyone's alignment is off. And like, I remember I got a lot of crap for bringing Rainbow Dash in when I actually brought her in with an accurate explanation. I said she was Sonic Rain Booming like really fast and she ended up ripping a hole in time and space and ended up flying into Silvermoon.
Mushroom Kingdom?
Exactly, but not as terrible.
But that does actually bring in a bit of how she got there. There's actually an explanation for someone like her.
Yeah, and then I beat the crap out of Vegeta. So, you know, whatever.
Well, hey, it's already proven she can beat the crap out of Starscream.
Exactly. So, anyway, I guess, Brass, how about you say your piece, and then we'll jump over to, I guess, shipping OCs with canon characters. Just keep in mind, we've been going for a while, so we might have to make that one
pretty quick. Everyone knows. Everyone has probably seen this OC. Mickey's OC, High Voltage, the one with the two. Like this certain like medical condition where he has two horns. I like that idea. That was clever.
Yeah.
Well, it's explained.
Yeah. He explains it.
Some people are born with an extra finger, so why not an extra horn?
Yeah,
why not?
Like I said, I love that idea.
Did he explain? Did he explain?
Actually... Go ahead.
No, continue. No, you continue. You were talking first.
As like, just because someone has an extra horn doesn't mean it makes them extra special. Other than it's like, hey, look, extra horn.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean extra power.
Yeah, did Mickey explain if that's what it meant or not? Or if it's just a, you know, like a dead appendage or something like that.
Well, he said it was a medical condition.
So I would assume it's probably a useless dead appendage.
Yeah. No, it's like he kind of he said like they still can both be used. It's just there to be there. It's a medical condition that he was born with.
So maybe it's just like he can use either one, but he can't like combine them to make like a double horn or something like that, or like make it.
They're split apart to look like devil.
All the time.
What? Where did that come
from? We've been on this topic for a long time.
Yeah. Let's
should we move on to the BronyCon soon, or is for the documentary?
Well,
soon,
let's talk about the shipping OCs with cannons real fast. Oh, we'll just do it real quick. Pixel.
I've seen a couple where it was fairly okay looking, and there's some that are even accepted. Like I know. For certain, there's one in particular that gets shipped with Rarity a lot, and a lot of different artists have done artwork of that character. I just can't remember the character off of the top of my head.
Pinkie Pie?
No, not a Pinkie Pie. It's somebody's OC. It's like a purple unicorn guy. But I recently saw one that was shipped with Celestia, but they made it look real. I mean, they drew it very well, and they gave a story behind it, and it was, you know, it was pretty okay. Like, I guess as long as it's explained decently, like we've been saying all along, then it's just fine.
In character is definitely important.
But at the same time, it's kind of annoying because it's just like, oh, yeah, this is my OC, and he's with Rary, and no one else can have her.
There actually is a third argument to that. Well, fourth. The third is, like, is it done because you want to be with Rarity? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just like an author surrogate? And fourth is, like you were saying, do they then take the attitude that, well, Rarity's his, no one else can have her? Or is it just, in this story it happened, you do it how you want yours?
Yeah. Well, alright, so Imago, is that your opinion on the subject?
Well, with Harbingers, you know, the thing I've been writing, plug, it actually, I'm going to spoil it a little bit, there is a relationship between Sly and one of the main six, but it takes a while to develop, it is there for a story reason, and it's never out of character.
And it's not going to... As far as we understand, it's not going to blossom.
Yeah, it's just kind of there in the background.
It's
so,
a flick.
It's just that? Not meant to be important.
It's like a flick.
Yeah, it's like a crush in the background, whatever. But, and like I said, as long as it stays in character, is well explained, and is not just out of nowhere because you want that character. For example, the character he winds up with, I...
not a fan of?
Well, not a fan of, but just not the one I'd pick.
Okay. So, Crystal?
There's my opinion. CR?
And then I was thrown into the middle of the circle.
Yes.
Dance. We're judging you.
We're playing Pony Pony Changeling. So, go ahead.
As for my opinion, if it can... It definitely is as much as Pixel and Imago has been saying. But as long as it's in character, as far as I am concerned, and has a background story, does not immediately, boom, there's the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hate instant romances. I really do.
Well, mm-hmm. And not to jump on yours, but the same can be said even for shipping in canon characters.
Yeah, it has to develop. Yeah.
If just for some reason Fluttershy decides to go out of her way and is now with Fancy Pants.
Or with Macintosh.
Yeah, it's...
Unless there's a certain love potion involved.
Poison!
Yes.
Smoobidoo! The changelings has something to do with the love poison.
Yeah, I'm almost sure of it, that the changelings invented the love poison.
I think that the princess was Chrysalis.
That's what I've heard a lot of people say.
Yeah. What would happen if a pony actually genuinely loves a changeling?
They
love themselves.
Then you have Imago and Crystal Rose.
Yeah, because that's a thing we actually did where, just to hijack it real quick, if love is given freely to a changeling, it doesn't harm the pony.
Yeah.
So.
All right, bravo.
Go get a drink.
If it's well done, it can be very good. For example, there's another Tumblr I have recently followed called Ice Pack, who is literally a male escort in Ponyville. And
okay.
He gets around. But the thing is, there he has a backstory. It makes sense. He is paired with many different ponies, or I should say, canon characters, but it makes sense, and I find it very well done because it's well written. I like the humor in it, and it just makes sense. So, yeah.
This pony prostitute, Blizz.
Well, that is a certain way that it can happen.
But I mean, I'm just using that as an example. But yeah, I would agree with everything else that there does need to be a reason for it. It can't just happen randomly out of nowhere. Like, oh hi Rarity, I just moved to this town. Love me.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense.
Let's go. All right, Blizz.
For some reason, I have a strange quirk because of the bad ships that I've seen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where I feel as though I shouldn't ship my any of my characters with the main six because I feel they aren't worthy enough.
That, I don't blame you there, really. It's one of the main reasons why I wouldn't want to ship any of my characters with one of them, or does Imago want to?
I mean, it's like, my character's nothing special.
I like your character, man. I like the aspect of there being a detective in Ponyville.
Yeah. You know?
I think your character's cool. But let's...
Cue the Pink Panther music.
Exactly. Orange, your opinion on shipping OCs with cannons?
Orange is no longer here.
Oh, it's...
Yeah, where'd he go?
I'm guessing lag killed him.
Yeah, it doesn't say he
actually... Da, da, da.
Yeah, it must have been
the call drop
one.
Shelltune?
Yes, I'm okay if, you know, your OC has interacted in some way, like, in a simple manner. Like, you're at the library, you need a book on astrology, and suddenly you and Twilight have a big discussion about it.
Star Swirl to build
it. Well, that's how all relationships start,
right,
in many cases.
I'm okay with something simple like that, but it's like, if you're going to the point of, like, smut, you know, clop or whatever, then no, I'm not exactly all for that.
Well, that's going into a different topic there.
Right, and the same thing goes with, like, you know, oh, you're pursuing, you know, a love type of relationship. I don't approve of that either.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And, Brass.
His return. Honestly, I never really, like, looked at shipping that much in general. Like, I never got into it as much as some people. But the best I'm probably going to do when it comes to that is maybe good friends with Octavia with my OC, and me. I'm still in the making with my story. I have no clue what I'm going to be doing with it.
And it would be plausible. I mean, you know, you're both musicians. You know, you come to the gala together to play, and there you start talking.
Yeah,
you know?
I've had complaints about that. I've had complaints like, oh, you're putting your OC. You're putting a character from the show with your good friends with your character. Oh, that's bad. I don't believe so.
And there's another point. I mean, my first character was actually Griffin Kalani, who had gone to flight school with Gilda and Dash, and people were berating me because, like, oh, well, he knows Dash. Yeah, from, like, years and years and years ago, he hasn't talked to her since, but...
Yeah, but apparently...
Even knowing the main six's name is Mary Sue Grounds, apparently.
I guess.
Yeah, but it's not like they're great friends.
Brass, I mean, your character's primarily, you know, or actually most of our characters are primarily Pony Sonas. You are, in fact, a, you know, you do play the trumpet in real life, so.
And you do quite well.
Yeah.
So.
It's not like you made it up just to make it up.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Pixel.
Somebody on my Tumblr recently asked me, have you ever met Dr. Hooves? Like, asked if my OC had ever met Dr. Hooves. And I did an encounter where she accidentally turned the TARDIS into 8-bit, and a lot of people really liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
And now I have a question that I'm going to be answering soon. It says, have you ever met, I can't remember the name.
Could have been
Discord.
From me.
Yeah, I don't know why. That just, my head... had a great part. Okay, yeah, Discord. They were asking if you've ever met Discord, and I'm just like, okay, if I do this, is there going to be another, have you met this person? Have you met this person?
What, you should actually just do one of Pixel straight-faced. No.
and then later on, you're probably going to have one of the Discord people on Tumblr come by as like, you met me now.
Orange, now that you've been able to rejoin, do you have an opinion on this?
Well, let people do what they want with their OCs. It's the same with everything. Like, just let them do what they want, but if you're gonna shove it in other people's faces, don't do it kind of thing. It's my opinion.
Okay. And, tokens?
I come from the perspective of, again, you know, if it's just mild friends, you know, a friend-type relationship with maybe a little, you know, maybe a mild blush every now and then, you know, that's okay. But also, I think the person who's doing the shipping needs to also keep in mind, you know, when you're treading shipping grounds in general, you know, you're putting yourself in front of a bit of a crosshair because, you know, with any fandom, shipping can be a sensitive topic to talk about. And when you're doing your OCs, you know, you really need to prepare yourself, you know, story-wise and, you know, just in general yourself for, you know, to make sure you know how to reply, how to explain as much as you can, admit when you can't explain some things and when you need to revise something. So yeah, that's kind of my grounds there. And also for shipping in general, I think it's safe to say we're all annoyed when we get characters that, you know, shipping characters that are just so ridiculously far apart that, you know, it's not even, it's beyond realistic, like Soren and Fluttershy or something like that. I mean, yeah, exactly. But I mean, well, then again, I guess you could say, you know, what about Octavia and Vinyl Scratch? Well, you know, there was really no story for those two, so everything was kind of up for grabs. So I guess you could say that was kind of an exception to the rule. But in general, you know, realistically, what are they interested in? How would they have encountered each other? You know, explain. Just explain.
Yeah,
that's all.
It's like you said, like going back to my example with Harbinger and Sly, the relationship with Sly and character, I'm not going to spoil it, is built up from the very first meeting and continues growing on that until it actually reaches. It's not just spontaneous, you know? It's not like a real
relationship.
I don't
believe in love at first sight.
No, it's like a real relationship slowly growing and building.
Start of something.
See,
new.
I'll jump mine in real fast, and then we'll go on to the BronyCon documentary topic because we. So mine real fast is I guess I kind of have two different versions of my character, because in the version I was writing initially is I was writing it like an episode. So if I was going to do an episode of My Little Pony where Laugh Track happens to be featured as the antagonist for that episode, I just have it that Rainbow Dash is a fan of his, and obviously Pinkie Pie is the current element of laughter. So the main six have saved Equestria numerous times, so they should at least be known. Maybe not everyone like knows who they are, but it's Pinkie Pie is well known as the element of laughter, which is why Laugh Track confronts her about it, saying
they have a stained glass image of them in Counterlot.
Exactly. So I've got Rainbow Dash is just a fan because he's a Cloudsdale comedian, and then he just doesn't think Pinkie Pie is worthy of being the element of laughter. That's all it is. Now, in my headcanon, though, which is separate from the episode script idea thing that I have, if I ship anyone with Laugh Track, it's just because of a headcanon thing. It's I ship Laugh Track and Rarity because, in my opinion, Rarity is a closet comic book fan. Because she has a discerning eye and she knows when things are going to be valuable.
As we've discussed on a previous
episode.
Exactly.
Watch now.
Actually,
exactly.
That's that's an interesting concept. I mean, that would be a plausible reason. Rarity, oh yes, this is going to be most valuable one day.
Yeah.
But what will other ponies think if they see me reading such things as cheap comic books? Oh, I can't let anybody hear about this.
I could even see it to the point where Laugh Track is the guy who goes out and buys them for her, reads them on the way, and then just hands it over. So it's one of those things where they maybe have a working relationship that could develop over time. But for the most part, they bond over the love of the latest issue of Ne'er-do-well.
And it comes back to every time with every problem with writing, it comes back to developing and explaining.
Exactly. So,
because I think I speak for all writers and all readers when I say almost anything can work if it's explained and actually has thought put into it.
Not just, boom, I have it now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, heck, the fan fiction that I've always recommend to you guys, the Alex Wharton's Discordant series, let's just say it has an Alicorn being made. Not born, made. But they think about it and they explain it and they foreshadow it long before. So it's acceptable.
And that'd be cool. So, all right. So I guess we've kind of touched on that. Real fast, I guess, last thing part of the discussion is we'll talk about the BronyCon documentary, John DeLancey, Tara Strong, Lauren Faust.
Onyx Marble.
Yeah, Onyx Marble, I suppose. Is he in it? Or?
Well, he's met John DeLancey.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if he's in.
He's not in it.
I think John DeLancey.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I guess, how does everyone feel about it? And we won't do the take turns real fast because we've already been going for over an hour at all this point. So right. I guess, like, I support it. You know, I think it's going to be good to, like, make people aware of the fandom and show that we're not all bad because, you know, I think we've been attacked on Fox News once or twice now.
Three, I think.
Three? Jeez.
Three, that's awesome.
They have nothing better.
I've only seen one of them.
Maybe three. Maybe I'm wrong.
I've only seen one.
Continue.
I don't know. I think it's just going to be good to be able to introduce people to the fandom and let them know that, obviously, we're not all weird. I do think that there is a chance where it's going to have a little bit of a negative effect. Like, if any person that they interviewed is wearing, like, sweatpants or something, that's not going to look good on us, but just because of stereotypes.
Exactly. And the thing that ultimately everybody needs to remember, and, you know, there's in terms of the skepticism of this documentary from non-bronies and even bronies alike, the most common thing I've heard is that it's going to be a self-centered documentary that's also going to be very biased because, you know, it's, you know, Lauren Faust of Tara Strong and, first of all, John DeLancey, you know, he himself will admit, you know, he's only just into this fandom. You know, he doesn't know a lot, so it is going to kind of document his experiences with this fandom as well. But, you know, direct connections with this documentary can be made to the 1980s documentary Trekkies, which was all about, mm-hmm. you know, telling, you know, why about the Trekkie fandom, you know, why they like the show so much. You know, like with Trekkies, it was all about they loved the philosophical teachings of, you know, Star Trek. And here we love the friendship lessons and all the sort of love and tolerance things. You know, we have things in common there. But also, you know, it's not meant to promote the fandom. It's meant to, like, educate people about the fandom. It's meant to be the once and for all, this is who we are. It's not selfish in any kind of way.
All right. So, very well said. I guess anyone have anything to add real quick, or did basically Tokens just sum it all up for us?
Yeah,
he summed it up for me.
He's good.
I wanted to go to BronyCon.
Didn't we all?
Everyone's got to admit, we all want to be at BronyCon at this very moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Damn right.
I'd rather be at BronyCon.
One thing I also like to add is to anyone that what really annoys me when the most annoying criticism I hear about this thing is like, why are you putting all this money towards this documentary? Shouldn't you be putting this money to charity? Blah, blah, blah. You always hear that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm sure you're all aware of the charities, you know, Bronies for Good, the whole Smile, Smile, Smile project. It's like, we got that angle covered, so you got nothing there. And also, it's none of your business what money's being spent on. And besides,
exactly.
It's not like this. It's not like a charity, you know, it's not something that's going to last forever. You know, once this, now that it's done, you know, attention can be brought to other things like the other Brony charities.
Exactly.
So,
and
we talked about it last time.
I'm even sure that they're going to cover that a little bit, you know? Like, if you're going to make a BronyCon documentary, you might as well talk about, like, Bronies for Good and everything like that. With all the interviews that they're having, like, I think they're interviewing Tombstone, as far as I know.
Yeah.
At least I've heard such things. Like, they're flying out to go interview him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see why they wouldn't interview the head of Bronies for Good or anything like that. Like, it helps with the fandom, and it,
exactly.
Like, really,
it puts a definite positive spin on us.
Exactly.
And another one, the ultimate question everybody has been having about this, I think, is the documentary going to talk about some of the dark sides of the fandom, and also, like, should it? Personally, I think, first of all, Rule 34, you know, it exists in all fandoms. You know, there's no point in, regardless of what the intention or how you word it, if you're going to put in that documentary, you're going to give people the misconception that, you know, like any parent watching it, that it's going to be exclusive to the Brony fandom, and that's not the purpose. You know, maybe you could touch up on how some people can be a little obsessive, but again, but that's, you know, that's something everyone can understand. Everybody's obsessed with something.
Every fandom.
There's still.
Can cause more confusion in the long run. I think it's better that they leave out the sort of Rule 34 because, you know, it exists everywhere and, you know, there's just not enough good reason to have it.
It's part of every fandom.
Yeah.
And even,
I think as bronies, though, if I may actually go ahead and brag for bronies, I think we are the few people who subvert, I can't remember what the word is, it's like Goodman's Law or something that states 10% of all, 90% of all writing is crap, because that 10% is what shines. And if I may toot the bronies' horn, I think we reverse that. I think 90% of all of ours is gold, and the 10% is not so great.
I'm part of the 10%!
No, you're not. You're 90. You're great, too.
Oh.
If I actually start writing, I might be able to make it. I don't know.
We'll have to see.
Yep, we'll have to see.
And remember, even though most of the fandom is bronies on for My Little Pony, the show still is geared toward kids and their parents. They're not really gonna talk about that much.
Well, when it comes to that. I mean,
okay.
Well, it's like, is this thing gonna be on the hub or something like that?
Oh, hold on, Pixel's got something to say. Pixel's got stories.
Okay. I actually have a story. Somebody sure. I know, I'm not going to say their name, she recently posted that she thought that anybody who liked My Little Ponies in a sexual way was a pedophile.
Illogical.
I know, and she just went on to say...
Really?
Quick love and toleration. I mean...
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. She went on a long rant about how, like... You shouldn't. The show was for little girls, nobody else. And I was just like, "Whoa!"
Now, is this if you're just a brony or if you were a clopper?
Yeah,
brony or clopper.
They were calling bronies in general cloppers.
Really?
They were saying all bronies.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard that though. That bronies are pedophiles, and zoophiliacs, and all that mess.
But
until the day comes that I hear an article I see an article online where a brony has actually done some you know obscene act in a Target or something like that, then there's no grounds for such a thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But there never is. I mean, fandoms get horrible raps all the time for no reason because nobody wants to actually take the time and learn about the fandom. Derpy!
It's society. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's
why the brony community is
hated.
Is how we are.
Yeah.
It's like we're open and accepting while everyone else is gonna be the haters.
And yet people have the nerve to call us a cancer of the internet. Like, there are several pages I like on Facebook where, like, if something pony related gets posted on there, it's like, oh god, why has this cancer invaded our page? And it's not a cancer.
I can imagine how it would be annoying for some people to say that you know, the reason the fandom is you know, hated is it's not because of the fact that there are guys that watch My Little Pony. It's the fact it's more the pony spam, they call it.
Yeah.
You know,
posting pony. On the other hand, it can come even just anywhere. I mean, even in games, I get chewed out all the time. Because just my name, I use the screen name Brony for Hire, and
I love it.
I just get chewed out for that all the time.
Yeah,
but
it all
comes down to what exactly do you mean by pony spam? Because pony spam means truly, like, okay, if it's like an image macro with text on it that's, you know, somehow like a joke, it's meant to be a joke in a conversation, that I would say is okay, because of course, you know, you could put any other image macro with any other show or whatever on there.
Yeah.
But I hate it when people say that it's pony spam because, like, someone's username on a forum is pony related, or they have an icon that's pony related. Very rarely do I think actual true pony spam, as in they're just posting stuff to post stuff. Very rarely do I think that happens. Right. And even ultimately, I always tell people this. The brony fandom is huge. While, yes, I think the majority are about love and toleration, you cannot realistically expect us all to follow this, you know, this same code. There are some people who don't agree with it, and let's not forget that, you know, the greater internet FWOD theory, which basically states that, you know, the sort of anonymity you get on the internet is going to make people act outside of their characters a lot.
Everyone's just bigger.
When you see how many nasty people are on the internet, think about it. What are the chances that those people are actually all that nasty in real life? Like, they talk on the internet.
Well, it's
right.
Yeah. Okay.
I doubt the people who reacted to the Derpy incident really ran and screamed around in their room for an hour like they say they did in the forum
okay.
post.
Well,
I tried to avoid caring about that incident.
Okay. Hey, guys, I hate to kind of interrupt this right now, especially it's been a great conversation, but we do have to kind of wrap this up. Mm-hmm. Just because without anything added beforehand, we're already pushing an hour and 17 minutes. So,
yeah.
And since we still got to put in Song of the Week and the news, this is definitely going to be a longer episode. So let's jump over to cool stuff real fast. Obviously, we mentioned the BronyCon documentary. It's being filmed, I believe, as we speak. Cool stuff that we've already touched on is we've got Pony Roleplay on Gaia. Crystal Rose and Imago do that. Battle for Unity is going on. We've got the map of Equestria and Beyond. The color thingy from earlier. The original Ponies group on DeviantArt. So, obviously we've touched on a lot of cool stuff. Does anyone have any fix that they want to share as of right now that they are either currently reading?
Harbingers is still stuck in development, so...
Ooh, what was the one I was reading that was really, really good? Give me one second.
Should I share the Doctor Who series?
Yes! Send it.
I actually have a whole folder of bookmarks for, like, the whole series.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead and send us the first one, and we can link that and go over to that.
Well,
have a long distance brohoof to give out.
Oh yes, brohoofs. I completely forgot.
Yeah, forgot.
Let's jump over to cool stuffs and do brohoofs, which we have brohoof fireworks.
Yes.
Today.
Yeah.
To celebrate the 4th.
Yes.
Which is 3 days from now.
Hooray!
Yay! You can count.
Sheltoon, who is your long-distance brohoof to?
Well, this is going to be cheesy, but it's to Lauren Fast for all the memories of 2 seasons she's worked on of My Little Pony.
The shows she's done in the past.
And all the shows she's currently doing now and shows she will be doing. I'm going to miss her involvement on ponies, but for what she gave us, it was worth it.
All right, so I think we can agree that every pony sends that out.
Yep.
I can't agree on her current support because the DC show is looking horrible.
Oh, no. I love Super Best Friends Forever, man.
Oh, yeah. I love Super BFFs.
Yeah, I mean, it's goofy, but I love it. So, okay. So, every pony send one out to Lauren Faust, Brohoof.
Yep.
Love you, Lauren.
Yeah.
Love you.
You're the best.
Anyone else?
I got one.
Okay, go for it.
Onyx. I'm jealous of him. But I still want to give him a brohoof because he's awesome.
Okay, so we've got others who are there. Onyx Marble's there. Pill Pusher's there.
Oh, Pill is, yeah.
Oh, Andrew's there, really?
Yeah, and every pony else who's there. So
all them, then.
I forget who else is there. So Onyx Marble, Pill Pusher, any pony else from the Nebraska Bronies who happen to be there, brohoof to you as well.
Because I'm feeling all warm and cuddly, just bros to all bronies everywhere, because...
I have a couple of bro hoofs.
Go ahead.
Hans's brother, I do not know his name right now, but I will learn it, like whether pony or otherwise. But I'm giving a bro hoof to him because Hans actually convinced him to start watching ponies, and he fell in love with them. Instantly, from what I heard.
Excellent.
One more.
And I'd like to give one more brohoof to my online sister, whose name is also Rose, because she fell in love with ponies after she saw my roleplay.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Battle for Unity. Join now!
I got
and
one.
And then Imago fell over.
Okay. Go for it.
To Oxford, because currently he's holding the Discord statue that we're going to be selling at Pwn3Con. He's been doing a very good job with it, and I want to commend him by giving him a long-distance brohoof.
All right, Oxford Ironhoof, here's a brohoof.
Awesome.
All right, who else?
That's all I got.
Maybe one to Megan McCarthy, because, there's those articles saying that she's a showrunner, and if she is, then I wish her the best of luck.
All right, Megan McCarthy, your long-distance brohoof.
Lauren, thank you for loving and, tolerating our weirdness.
Yeah.
Yep.
Indeed.
I would also like to mention that Lauren cried a bunch of times this weekend.
I heard that.
Why do you gotta bring that up?
Not sad.
Tears of joy. No, it's tears of joy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Put some tissues on the fireworks there.
Okay.
I would like to give a bro hoof to everybody in this podcast right now, because I never thought I would be part of something this awesome, so thank you guys.
Hey, yeah. Man, thanks for coming.
Neither did I.
And now we have to do an MLP-style group hug.
Group hug!
Yes! Pony pile!
Okay, so I think at this point there's only one real way to close out the show. Do we have all our bro hoofs set up?
Yeah.
I know how to close out the show.
Okay.
Oh, wait, one more too. Tara Strong and all the voice actresses for, like you said, putting up with the bronies' weirdness.
Yeah.
Well, Tara Strong likes it.
Tara Strong embraced it.
Okay.
A bit more than maybe she should have, but, you know, that's up to her to figure out.
Right. Anyway.
So, the staff and cast of MLP FIM.
All those editors, all those writers.
Okay. So, anyway, like I said, I do believe there's just kind of one way we can really close this out. So I hope everyone kind of has their singing voice ready, because this is going to be horrible for us, because none of us are actually going to be in sync at all. So, for those listening in the future, I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
What are we going? Oh.
Ready, everyone?
This is Crown, no.
I'm not ready.
My little pony, my little pony, my little pony. I used to wonder what friendship could my little pony, until you all shared its magic with me. Big adventure, tons of fun, a beautiful heart, faithful and strong, sharing kindness, it's an easy feat, magic makes it all complete. You got my little pony, don't you know you are my very best friend.
Yay,
it sounds like bees.
And
from
fake John Delancey too.
Oh yes.
And we had a really bad heavy.
Oh, that's all right. I thought that was great, guys. Thank you.
Ready for work.
Thank you so much, Everypony. Have a great night.
Bye, Everypony. Bye.
Good night, Everypony.
Bye. I still wonder what friends.